back to another edition of the Pegcast. I'm your host, Michael Pagani, joined alongside Windsor Spitfires forward, Alex Christopoulos. Alex, welcome to the Pegcast. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
How have you been doing recently? I always like to open up the floor to the guests to speak how their off-season's going. How's your summer going?
Yeah, everything. Summer's going great. I mean, just training, you know, 5-6 days a week on the ice, off the ice, just trying to build muscle and get stronger and faster for the season.
What parts of your game are you focusing on?
I'm trying to focus on my speed right now. Got to get the speed up. And so I've got to be first on pucks. And you know what they say, if you're not first, you're last, right?
Exactly. And I know for me, I actually kind of skipped all my power skating drills when I was a little younger. So I'm not up to speed with a lot of my friends. So I'm usually last of the puck there when we play shinny.
No. Yeah, I've got to – sorry, repeat?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Wasn't listening.
Sorry. It was announced today, actually, that Michael Renwick had committed to Queens for his future. What's your opinion on that? What's he bringing to that locker room over there?
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I mean, it's awesome going to Queens, especially. You know, it's a hard school to get into, especially if you're going to play hockey. So, but I mean, all best of luck to him with Queens. He's going to bring to the table. He's going to bring a lot. He's going to bring a great shot. You know, he's got a great one-timer. He's working on it every practice. So he'll bring that shot.
Was there a player growing up who you wanted to model your game after?
Growing up, I'd say like an Alex Ovechkin, you know, big and strong, hard on the puck, hard shot. I just try to model my game after him, just like a power forward.
Sniping a lot of Genos, obviously, right?
Yeah, he does score a lot, Ovechkin.
When you have a twin brother, I mean, who do you throw in net for mini sticks?
It's usually either me and him. Like, we switch here and there.
Okay, but, you know, so it's kind of respectfully there then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, have the first half hour, I'm in net. The second half hour, he's in net or whatever. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, of course. And you're obviously drilling him with, you know, headshots, right?
Oh, yeah. He'd give him back, though. he wouldn't forget every time I shot a puck at his head. The next time I go on net, he'll crank me one.
Oh, of course. You know, he's got to repay the favor, right?
Yeah.
How big was it to have someone who was able to push you to your limits like Paul was able to?
Yeah, I mean, we just push each other here and there. Every time we train together, right? So we're just pushing out each other every time. And so you can lift more dumbbells, so you can shoot the puck harder, so you can skate faster. You know, all the little stuff that helps improve the game.
Who influenced you to get into hockey?
I'd say my parents, mostly my dad, because he used to play hockey when he was little. So, yeah.
Growing up in Richmond Hill, I assume you became a Leaf fan, right?
Yeah, well, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you got to root for the hometown team. I mean, I grew up in Burlington, so I decided to cheer for the Habs, and that was because so it's the Habs because my minor hockey team was the Montreal Canadiens at the time, and I was like, all right, sure, I'm aboard this bandwagon now, and yeah, they've been my team ever since, and I'm happy they came back 3-1 against the Leafs. That will always be something I have against my friends who are Leaf fans.
Uh-huh.
Before getting drafted to North Bay like you did, you played on the historic Don Mills Flyers team. What did it mean to be a part of that team?
Yeah, I mean, the Don Mills team, we never lost a game all season. And if we did, it was probably one, I remember. And it was in a tournament. So, I mean, we played with a bunch of great guys who are now NHL bound or NHL drafted or signed. So it was a great team we had.
When did it start to click that this team was going to be destiny and win the OHL Cup?
Well, I mean, you can start to tell by the first, I'd say, 10 games of the regular season and the first tournament. Like, we just went undefeated in the first, like, 10, 15 games. Like, even the whole season, like, we just went undefeated. We're like, hey, like, we're not losing from here, boys. We're just going to keep pushing and we're not going to take a loss for an answer.
Now, at that age, you may not be used to playing in, you know, a full capacity crowd. I believe the OHL Cup final was a capacity crowd, so it must have been a lot of fun to play with that atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'd like to say it was like an OHL rink, but it wasn't like playing in an OHL rink. I mean, there was still a lot of fans, but much more than minor hockey, obviously, because it doesn't fit that many fans. So, yeah, it was an exciting game.
And the Mamie Athletic Center, I mean, it's a beautiful rink. It's the old Maple Leaf Gardens, right? So there's so much history to it.
Yeah, especially since the Leafs used to play there. So, no, I think Ryerson plays there, or TMU.
Yes. Yeah.
TMU plays there now. So, yeah, it was a great rink to play in.
In 2019, you got drafted in the third round. Now, some names that got drafted with you include Maddox Callens, Luka Delbel-Belouz, and Jacob Frasca. What does it mean to be in the same company as them?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously great players, and a couple of them are NHL bound, and yeah, they get a bunch of skill guys and just high elite players to play with and against.
What do you remember from draft day?
Well, I remember my brother getting drafted before me to North Bay, so I kind of had hopes I was gonna go with him because obviously I wouldn't want to split up from my brother, so I was just waiting for the call for the next North Bay's pick, and that was obviously in the third round, so they picked me up, and I was happy I was with my brother.
Do you know if the battalion ever let you in on their draft day plans? Like, was it always the idea to get you and your brother on the same team?
I mean, actually, we've never spoken to the battalion for a phone or in-person interview before, so it was kind of like I wouldn't say shock, but I'd say like North Bay's drafting us, like we've never spoken to them. You know what I
So
mean?
it was a relief to say, I
Yeah.
guess, right?
Yeah. Because we spoke to almost all the other teams in the OHL but prior to the draft, except for North Bay. So it was like out of the box.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're just like, oh, that's a bit interesting. Like the
But yeah.
one team, the absolute one team that we didn't speak to takes
Yeah.
us.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was exciting too on draft day because anything can happen, right? And that was the anything.
How did you celebrate getting drafted? Like, I assume there's a huge like family dinner for both of you guys getting.
Yeah, obviously I was with my family and we had a steak. I remember that night we had a steak dinner, mashed potatoes. It was great. It
Always
was
have to
great.
have the meat and potatoes, right?
Yeah, gotta have some meat and potatoes.
So you played with your brother for 2 seasons. That must have made it easy on the family on who to cheer for, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the start it was before I got traded. I mean, they just had one team to cheer for, and they wouldn't have to worry about me and my brother fighting against each other.
Well, we'll get to the part where you actually, in your first game against North Bay since the trade, you scored. So we'll get to that part a little bit later. But how would you describe the jump from Major Midget to the OHL?
Yeah, obviously bigger, faster, stronger players to play against. Like, you really got to work on yourself in the summer. It's all the summer development that makes you really get to the next level and jump higher, jump higher.
And it's why you train 5 to 6 times a day, right?
Yeah, you got to keep in shape and just got to keep improving because everyone's getting better, right?
In your rookie season, you scored 16 points in 57 games, but how important was it to get your first OHL goal out of the way in your second game?
I remember that was like it was yesterday. I remember it was in the Sioux. I think it was second period. Second or it was second. First period, actually, it was. Because I remember we were shooting in their end. So it was fun. One of our teammates stole the puck and then gave it to me. And then I went through, made a maneuver through a defenseman. And then I picked the pocket in the top corner. And I didn't even know how to celebrate. I just threw my hands up. I was like, well, I didn't even have a celly in mind or anything. I was just like, oh, I scored. I scored. I just put my hands up. Nothing. Just plain.
Wow, that's unreal. That is unreal.
I couldn't even think of a celly to do in the meanwhile. Like,
It's one of those things where you look back and you're like, shit, I can't believe I just messed that up.
yeah, I know. You just throw your hands in the air like, wow, I just scored. And it's
Yeah.
just like, it was just one of those moments where I just couldn't think of a celly to do.
How did you navigate your training around the time when the pandemic came?
No, I mean, obviously it was tough since ice rinks were closed and gyms were closed. So you just had to manage with what you had. I was lucky to have a couple of dumbbells and weights around the house. So I was just using those dumbbells we were using chairs for a bench press. It was
Well,
funny.
I mean, you had to do it like people were using milk cartons, right?
Yeah, I know. There was a milk carton and You had to deal with what you had to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm. Like absolutely.
Whatever's in front of you, you just got to pick up, and hopefully it's heavy enough for you. And you just got to do what you got to do.
What do you remember when the world did shut down?
I mean, I thought we were going to be back in a couple of weeks because that's what our team told us. But then it just kept getting worse, the pandemic. So they kept delaying it and delaying it. So we ended up not even finishing the season, or we didn't even play the next season.
Yeah, exactly. And it sucks because, like, the OHL, I was following it the entire way. And they always, release this press statement like, okay, we're going to start here. There's going to be hub cities here. And we're watching the Q plays. We're watching the dub plays. And it's like, okay, we're like, what's the deal? Like, start hockey.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're all excited. They kept saying, oh, a couple weeks. But then I guess the season never happened. But we were all getting our hopes up. We were ready. Everyone was ready for the season. I was training with a couple guys who also play in the OHL. And we were just getting ready for the season and ready to start up again.
When the OHL did resume, we saw the Spitfires just take off in the standings in the 21-22 season. What were the weeks like leading up to the trade to Windsor?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a thing I requested. I mean, obviously, I wasn't really getting much playing time or an opportunity to play like higher role. Like, I wanted to play a higher role, but I guess North Bay didn't really see me as that guy. So they sent me to Windsor, and Windsor gave me a good opportunity, and I'm here right now where I am.
You became that guy in Windsor.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the trade can help people positively and negatively, and I personally think it helped me positively. It grew me, especially being apart from my brother.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then there's the whole, fighting aspect in the family, like on who to cheer for, right?
Yeah, I know my parents, they split their jerseys in half. Who to cheer
for. So I'm close friends with Oliver Pierre there, and he messaged me today saying that you eat a ton. So how many diets are you on during the season?
Oof, I don't have a diet throughout the season. I eat whatever's in front of me.
That's wild.
Yeah. Well, obviously you try to keep in shape too, right? Like, get your meat, potatoes, chicken, rice, everything healthy. Keep it healthy mostly, but you got to have some fun here and there too. Like, have some ice cream, or got to treat yourself, right? Because we all work so hard throughout the season.
Oh, absolutely. You got, like, the hard work pays off, right?
Yeah. You got to enjoy. And plus, we burn it off in 2 seconds. So,
yeah. See, other people, they gain weight with ice cream. And the hockey players, like, they just lose it in 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. We're always working our bodies. So,
In the 47 games you played with Windsor when you got traded there, totaled 22 points. How did you see your game evolve under Mark Savard?
I mean, obviously, he gave me a good opportunity at the start on the top line with Cooley and Johnson. And I kind of did well with them. So he kept me there for a bit. And then he kept moving me around the lines. And I gelled with all the players in the lineup pretty much. So.
And how important is that to be a player where you can be on any line and you have instant, chemistry with the teammates?
I mean, obviously, it's great. Like playing with different types of players and having good chemistry with them. You just got to figure out what they're good at, and you just got to adapt, right? The new, every line you're on.
Let's talk about the deep playoff run. You were a big piece to that, scoring 14 points in 25 games. But are you superstitious at all in the playoffs?
I'm superstitious throughout the season as well, too. I mean, I like to put 8 guards in a certain way. I like to tape my stick right when I get in the arena for games. I do a certain wax on my tape job. So, I mean, that's like superstitions for everything. Like, I play sewer all the time.
Oh, yeah. Always got to.
Oh, you have to.
In that first round against Sarnia, you guys held a 3-1 series lead, but you guys almost let that slip away. How do you make sure to finish it off in that sixth game and not go to a game 7 where everyone's kind of just shooting their pants almost?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Sarnia gave us a good battle. I mean, they do have a top goaltender, Ben Goodrow, so he was hard to put the puck in the back of the net against. So I mean, we just kind of had to find a way.
In the second round against the Rangers, you guys go on the road to the odds, steal both games, take a 3-1 series lead. How important was it to go into the odd and win both of those games? Because that is a very hard atmosphere to win in.
Yeah, obviously. Kitchener is a hard spot to win games in. And honestly, taking those two games away from them in their own home was huge on us. I mean, it ended up helping us win the series, right?
And then against Flint, you know, both teams really traded wins. First it was Flint, then it was you guys. But D'Amico's goal in game six to secure the overtime win, how big was that to get the momentum back on your side?
Actually, I think it was Perrott's OT winner. It was Perrott's OT winner to send us. I think D'Amico scored the game tying goal.
Okay. Yeah.
But then Perrott scored the game winning goal. And I was in front of the net. I remember it. I was in front of the net screening the goalie, and Perrott scored bar down. And he did the violin after in game
six.
Yes.
Okay. Like, oh, yes. Boy. Now I remember that.
Yeah. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. We're going to go back to WFCU in a packed crowd game seven. Like, we better win. We better not let the hopes of the fans down. And we ended up winning that game. D'Amico got the hat trick. And I think I got one from Pierre.
So. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Because D'Amico was huge in those two games, game six and game seven.
Yeah, he was a big part of the team.
And then Hamilton went on that, you know, nuts playoff run, smoking everyone in their way. But how does it speak to the quality of teams since you guys were the only ones to give them a run for their money?
Yeah, I mean, we knew going into the first the series with them, they were undefeated the whole way through the playoffs. So we were obviously a little bit nervous playing against them, because they were supposed to win it, and they ended up winning it. But the first game, we took it away from them, and we felt like it was a shocker towards them. Like, whoa, these guys are no joke. They're battling for it. So I remember it. Renwick scored the OT winner. He scored the OT winner in his old barn too, right?
Yeah.
He was in Hamilton, so he must have felt great. We all felt great going into the locker room. I remember there was a TikTok. It was like, woo, going into the locker room. Everyone's like, let's go.
Well, because Oliver Piercy scored in game one, and it silenced the crowd. I mean, I was there for the majority of the finals. I think I went to like four or five games of the of the finals there. And like, I've never seen that crowd that silent before. And like, Piercy's goal was just insane. It was nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I think he scored the game tying goal too, which was in the third period. So like, that made our team like electric. Like, well, we have a chance to win the game now that we've tied it up. So, and we ended up securing the dub.
Last season, so we're talking about 22-23 now. You're a part of the leadership group. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the coaches kind of saw me as a hardworking guy in practice and in games. So they saw me as a leader and show our teammates the work ethic it takes to win games. And yeah.
The first game against your brother, you scored on the power play and he was on the ice for that. I assume chirps were thrown right afterwards, right?
Yeah, I was trying to look for him. I think Abraham went up to him and gave him a little shove on the way to celebrate with me, because I rewatched that video a couple of times, obviously, against my former team and my brother.
Yeah, so, exactly. Well, that, you know, that's something you have against him.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny when I saw it, because I didn't really see him shove my brother until I saw it on the video. I started laughing.
That's hilarious. When you play North Bay, like, do you get the sense that your brother's going to target you especially?
Well, I wouldn't think just my brother. I'd think the whole team as well too, because like, I used to play with them, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say like I'd pretty much think like they'd all be thinking like, oh, we're playing against Al, and like, he's gonna come out strong, which I obviously against my former team, you want to come out strong.
Exactly. So then what is it like to be, you know, a guy that's on their bulletin board? Like, okay, we have to stop him. We have to limit him.
Yeah. I mean, you try not to worry about it too much, but you just try to focus on your game and get work around it.
You really found your form last season, scoring 74 points in 68 games, becoming a staple in the top six, and even on the special teams units. How does that speak to your trust with Mark Savard?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the opportunity he gives, you got to do good with it, right? So, I mean, if you're going to do good on the penalty kill, you're going to keep playing on the penalty kill, right? Like, if you can do good on the power play and help the team score goals or help the team get assists and stuff, you're going to be on it more often, right?
Does it surprise you at all that Savard landed an NHL job?
I mean, no, it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, we won back-to-back conference championships with the team. So I'm pretty sure we all knew something was cooking in his books. So I'm glad for him. He went to Calgary and he deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I think even like the start of the rumors really was after the first time you guys won the conference championship, and you knew that it was coming in the future. It was a matter of when, not if, right?
We didn't know if he was going to come back last year at the start of the season too. So we were just kind of waiting and waiting, and he did end up coming back. But next year we'll have to find a new head coach.
And what's it like with the new head coach search? Is it just one of the assistants that's going to step up?
I got no clue how the head coach, who our new head coach will be, but I don't know. Like I got no clue. It's up to our GM and
yeah, for sure,
ownership, and we'll see who's the right guy for the job and stuff. So,
what will you remember from having Savard as a head coach?
I remember him. I'll just honestly remember him just giving me good opportunity and good pointers on the ice of what to do and how to evolve my game, especially in practice. He'd help me out a lot.
And being a former NHLer, like, you must have just tried to soak up as much information as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're all asking him, how did you get to the NHL? What does it take to play and all that stuff? So he helped us out a lot.
The Spitfires traded for Harrison and Wright this year. What type of message did that send to the team at the time?
At the time, when we traded for those players, it was like, hey, boys, we're going for it this year again. So like, we're going to have to step up all of our games and play to our best each and every shift.
And I guess I'm just going to leave it out there. Like, what went wrong in the playoffs? Like, did you guys kind of underestimate the Rangers? Because throughout the season, the Rangers were underperforming. They weren't good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they made a bunch of trades at the trade deadline. So I'm pretty sure they improved a lot after the trade deadline. And honestly, I think we kind of underestimated them a bit because we beat them a lot throughout the season. So we kind of like, I don't want to say let loose on the gas pedal, but I guess we just thought it was just going to come to us, the series win, but then it just didn't happen. So,
I mean, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't beat hard work, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't really think we all had the right mindset going into the series. So, but we ended up working hard and stuff. But I guess they outworked us. They were first on puck battles. It was cheers to them.
Yeah, I mean, a very disappointing end to the season for sure. And, you know, clearly, I guess the better team just won, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it worked.
So I have a few random questions here at the end. So throughout your OHL career, what has been the favorite arena to travel to?
I'd say Kitchener, the odd. Great rink. It's electric. But I'd say Kitchener and London's rink are like one of the top ones I really like to play in.
And is that because you kind of perform well in there, or is that just because of the atmosphere?
I mean, the atmosphere, there's a bunch of fans there every time we go to Kitchener or London. It's electric.
And it's nice because those rinks usually get sold out the most in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they carry the most fans in London in the OHL. I think it's around 10,000. So, yeah.
How about the worst arena to travel to? The one you don't like the most?
Least favorite?
Yeah.
I'd say Flint.
Okay.
Because their fans. Their fans are crazy. good for them. They do have a good fan base, but they're crazy walking into the rink, be like, oh, we're going to go play against the Firebirds. We're going to hear it from the fans.
Yeah, dude. I guess going to there is just like, oh, my God, this is going to be the longest bus ride ever.
Yeah. Well, I'm not from Windsor, but, I mean, from Windsor, I think it's about an hour and a half, but it's just playing there to the fans. And
well, that's what I'm kind of getting at. It's like, okay, you're going to Flint, but it's like you're going to Flint with the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you played in any Teddy Bear Toss games?
Yes.
And have you scored any of the goals? No.
Last year's was Morneau scored it for us in Windsor. So
right, yeah.
And then there was a bunch of Teddy Bears tossed on the ice. It was like a 15-minute pause.
Well, it's like, okay, so as a player, how do you stay within the game? Because as a fan, like, you're just throwing the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, like, to get back into the game because you're like, oh, we scored the Teddy Bear. We're all taking pictures. We're all laughing. We're all having fun. And then when the Teddy Bears are off, you just got to get dialed in.
Yeah, like, right? There's still a hockey game left to be played.
Yeah, it's like, wow, game's not over, and we're all celebrating here with the Teddy Bears because we just scored a goal. So
why did you choose to wear the number 48?
When I was growing up, used to play for Domino's Flyers, obviously, as you know. And I used to look at their roster and I saw Danny Briere. So I was like, oh, I'll take his number.
I mean, the orange and the white kind of go together with Phillies in a way, right?
Yeah, yeah. We had the same colors as Philadelphia Flyers, so that's why I picked the number, because Danny Briere used to play for them. Like, the colors would be the exact same. And I liked the way it looked on him, so I thought it'd look good on me.
Look good, feel good.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it goes.
What's your favorite off-ice activity?
Off-ice activity? I like playing soccer or football. Like, just tossing the football around. Like, not actual.
Well, like, yeah.
Load on the gear.
Dude, that would be nuts. You're from September to April, you know, just a full-time hockey player. Then when summer hits, just strap on the pads because it's football season.
That'd be crazy.
That would be nuts. There would be no time, like, just to relax.
No, you're going at it 24/7. Body part covering.
Yes, but throwing the football around can be really fun.
Yeah, it is, especially when you have a sibling too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Always throwing the football around with my brother in our free time, or playing soccer, just kicking the ball around, you know.
Who's the hardest player you've had to defend, and why?
Had to defend.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, sure. Throw your OHL career. Let's go with it.
I'd say Nick Robertson.
Okay, that's a good one.
He was fast. I played against him my first year, and he was fast.
He's a shifty guy.
He was lightning quick, and he just found a way to put pucks in the back, and then we're like, whoa. Like, I remember
his frame, like, he's really shifty.
Yeah. Yeah, for his size too, he'd say he's pretty small. Like, I wouldn't say pretty small, but he's not big, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's on the smaller side of things, right? Like,
you know what?
That's a fact.
He's got the speed to maneuver guys and get around them. So, wow. I remember he made a move. I was like, where is this guy going? I lost him for a sec.
What's your favorite TV show?
TV show. I don't really watch TV, but like, when I do, it's usually Netflix.
Yeah, so
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay, that's a good one. I haven't had that one before.
That was just like growing up as a kid too, right? Just
Fresh Prince exactly.
I'd always throw it on with my brother and my dad. So,
well, my last question to you will be, what's your advice, if any, for younger hockey players?
Just work hard and dreams will come true. Keep following your dream and they'll come true.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank again Alex Christopoulos for joining me on today's podcast. Thank you again, Alex.
All right. Thank you, Mike.